You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is what's up, and welcome everyone to the second episode of G Wandering for G1 Climax 34 2024. I'm your host Rafe Houston, your bad friend Rafe Houston, here to run down night three. So second episode, but we did one and two together, so night three of G Wandering, running down the block action. Now, when I do these, because I need to do one for every single night of G1, I'm not going to run through the tags, though I'm sure they're fun. If I get a chance to watch them, I will, but for the most part, we're just running down the heat to keep the action up and to let everybody know what's going on with their draft teams, which if you've listened to nights one and two, you'll kind of know what the go is with that. So let's have a quick look at the card and see what was first up. So it was actually a Block B singles match because Takeshita is over in Japan from AEW, but he had DDT Peter Pan on that night. So that they did the first night. So he had to jump over to this. So there's a B block here and then some A's. So to start off, it was B block action with Takeshita versus Jeff Cobb. Now, I was really into this match, really fast, really hard hitting, and they did a great job of really making me think that, like, Jeff Cobb is this mountain to overcome in 15 minutes. He's holding that New Japan World Television title that essentially is a 15-minute time limit title, so for anybody to beat him, I thought they were really going to beat him outside of that time limit. The fact that Takeshita did is very interesting. Will that lead to, you know, a title match? I am not sure. Maybe on AEW TV, Jeff Cobb's been over there a few times, something like that, get his win back. We will see. But either way, absolute banger of a match. And it all ended up in 10 minutes and 28 seconds. So he didn't even hit that like 15 minute mark or close to it. Beat him, you know, quite soundly in that time. So Takeshita's definitely one to watch in this tournament, but Jeff Cobb is no slouch in it either. So yeah, we'll see where it goes, but that added another 2 points to Josh's team, the Gold Coast Hot Takes, over on hashtag Stiff One. So from WeWork Stiff. Second match was Zack Sabre Jr. from TMDK defeating Callum Newman. He managed to defeat Newman pretty soundly in under 12 minutes. This wasn't really a surprise. I mean, Zach has been off to a pretty hot start, and Newman is still pretty new to the contest and only kind of just... Well, he was never really a young lion, but sort of, you know, leveling up in New Japan. So not an overall surprise, and it would have been a huge upset if Newman picked up the win, but that's a third win for Zach. Zach is on my team, the West Coast Captains. I hope... Zach is a lot of people's, including mine, this is in my team's, favourite to win the G1. Now, I don't know if that's really going to happen, but, like, I sure hope it does, and I hope that this early win streak isn't a sign that he's going to, you know, flame out and then lose all his N1s and not win. So let's have a look at it. But some good sound wins, and there's still plenty of block action to go. So we will see. But a nice one there by Zach. Next up was Shingo Takagi versus the Great Okan. Shingo beat him pretty soundly here, and he kind of didn't even really, like, if I remember correctly, he didn't even like hit Made in Japan or fucking Enter the Dragon or anything. He sort of did that cool sliding clothesline and then hooked a leg and just got a quick pin on him. Okan's telling the story like, I'm gonna fight everybody in their style or whatever. He needs to stop doing that because he is losing a lot. He's 0-3 at the moment, so he needs to stop pissing about. We voiced it on other episodes, but we're very concerned that they're severely devaluing Okan. He always presents great and everything, and he's putting in good matches, but, you know, if you lose all the time, you start to become a loser. So hopefully that's not the case. But Shingo is also on my team, and I was very happy to see him pick me up another 2 points. Next up was really what I felt was the main event of the night. It was Gabe Kidd defeating Shota Umino in 15 minutes and 56 seconds. This is awesome, man. Like, these guys came in with such a big fight feel right from the start. And they just clobbered the absolute fuck out of each other. Some real, like, mean streak behavior coming into it by Shota. And even commentary was, like, talking about it. They were like, oh, that's not the actions of an ace, you know, and things like that. And it got me thinking. I was like, I wonder whether we're seeing this all wrong, in that, you know, Shota has been dubbed the next ace. He claimed that he wanted to be that, you know, on the mic. He's Moxley's protege, all these kind of things. I wonder whether that's not the way they're going to go with him, because they sort of have told this story with him right from the start that, like, he's had these opportunities, he's got the look, everybody thinks he could be this, but he's never quite got the job done when it's really, like, mattered. So I wonder whether we're kind of looking at it all wrong, where everybody's thinking that, you know, he's the face and Gabe's the heel and all that stuff, but we might actually be headed the other way. And by that, I mean, maybe we see somebody else able to pull off a double turn, you know, as well as Austin and Hart did at WrestleMania 13. Like, I could, if neither of these guys win the G1 or whatever, I could potentially see, you know, a program, they have a lot of heat, they've got a lot on the line between the two of them. We're going to run it back at Wrestle Kingdom. It's going to be Gabe Kidd versus Shota Umino, and everyone thinks it's face versus heel, but by the end of it, Shota's standing tall, but he's crossed lines and is now considered the heel, and Gabe is actually the babyface, because let's face it, all the fans are treating him like a babyface regardless of what he's doing. He's doing great work. Everybody's cheering him. He's absolutely killing it. And in my eyes, he, in a lot of ways, is like the spiritual successor to a Stone Cold Steve Austin. I haven't really seen anybody else delivering that sort of level of intensity and feeling and attitude in the way that he did in a long time, you know? And so, yeah, I think that could be really cool. And I think there's sort of a part of Shota that, A, he holds that mean streak within him, but B, I think there's going to be a bit of pushback on him, and there already kind of has been a bit of a pushback. Like, whenever anybody's like, this is the new guy, this is Tanahashi 2, whatever it may be. So, very interesting. It was a slight shame for me that Shota did not win, as he is on my team, but I love to see Gabe Kidd do well, and he would have been on my team had I had the opportunity. So, yeah, Dave picked up 2 points there with Shota. Now, next one we always joke it's like the loaded gun that fucking New Japan keeps pointed at our head. And I feel like the last two matches of this night were two of those loaded guns. They were double fist Nematis, which is Evil versus Sonata, and Naito versus Jake Lee. Now, it's pretty I'm pretty outspoken about my feelings on Sonata, and I went off about Jake Lee. Hadn't really seen him before, and I'm fucking like from convinced on him. But let's just rewind it to Evil and Sonata. And I will say that this is probably the most fun I've ever had with an Evil and Sonata match. Now, don't get it twisted. That doesn't mean I had lots of fun. That means I had some fun, which is more than none fun, which is the way it has previously gone in the past. Also, I don't know if you guys can hear that rain. It's a bit of a G-Wandering tradition that I record this while I'm working. At the moment, I'm on the road, and you can hear the raindrops of Perth, West Australia hitting the outside of my van. So, there you go. So, it starts off, both men enter, and then Evil has a shirt in his head. He walks up, him and Sonata shake hands, and he gives him the shirt, and Sonata puts on a House of Torture shirt. And Evil announces, and according to the translation by ELP, which may not be all that accurate, that we're House of Torture. Sonata has joined House of Torture. We have the best merch. We have the worst matches. And now he's part of it. Now, I'm immediately thinking, I wish this was true, because I think it would be way more interesting, and I don't think that they wrestle well against each other. So I'm like, hey, join him up. Plus, he looked great in that shirt, so good on him. But I feel like Sonata even botched the lead on that, because like the shirt had a little tear in it at the neck, like meaning he's clearly going to rip it off, which is fine. Like, you could prep that and maybe nobody would notice it. But he was also like fiddling with it constantly to make sure that it definitely had that to be in order to rip it, you know? And so you can tell, like, it's kind of, he wants to be sure because he's going to make that move. So a couple of things happen. One, he's preempting it by like messing about with it. So I already immediately know he's going to not do it. And then two, when he does eventually turn off, the camera fucking misses it. By the time it swings back to Sonata, it's basically off. And I was like, come on, guys. So they've watched it a little bit, but I appreciate that Evil and Sonata just tried to do something different with them. And plus, you get that great photo of him in the shirt, which is really fun. And it was all a bit of fun. It was fine. The match did overstay its welcome. The middle parts were what they were. I did think it was the most kind of personality I'd seen Sonata show in a bit. Like, you know, obviously playing along and then rolling up Evil, you know, working out. But also hitting his own ball shots and things like that. I kind of wish he'd won after all that. Because I feel like he tried some shit. He played into Evil's game. He, like, had the better of him. He even crossed the line and fucking hit a nut shot himself and stuff. So I would have liked him to get the win, but again, Togo's involved, you know, numbers, all that stuff. But yeah, I think it would have been a nice one for him to get the win. But yeah, it warmed me to him a little bit, I gotta say. Am I on board all the way? No. But they're clearly trying to do something with him, so that's not the worst. This was an own goal for Curtis, as he has both guys. So no matter what, he got 2 points. And I think Curtis is going to have a good time as a stretch. An interesting time watching Sonata throughout this tournament as somebody that he needs to keep an eye on. Yeah. Next up was Naito versus Jake Lee. Now, as I said, I'm far from convinced on Jake Lee. I'm not as hot about him today as I was the other morning, but that was I was fueled by computer outages and things in my own life, and then he copped the absolute brunt of it. This match was what it was. The crowd seemed to be into it. There wasn't like heaps of chants, but there was, like, you know, people call out Naito and stuff. So, you know, people were behind him. Jake Lee was doing what he could heel wise, spitting on the cameraman, and you know, he's got a big deep voice, so that's cool. He's yelling at people and stuff. Some real clunky stuff here. One of the fucking messiest Destitos I've seen in a while. And my favorite, my highlight of the match was ELP on commentary, when he's like, the sickest thing about Jake Lee is that he gets his gear made by the Star Maker, the Stardom gear makers, that he mumbles under his breath, sick bastard, which I thought was pretty funny. ELP's great on commentary. And then I was kind of surprised. I was thinking this would be the one where Sonata got his win back from their first encounter, but it didn't happen. Naito picked up his first win. I thought he was going to go like 0-3 for the start of the contest, but he picked up his first. So if my maths is correct, all of us in a stiff one tipping over, well, Dream Team type scenario over at WeWork Stiff, had Jake Lee won that, it would have been myself on 14, Curtis on 12, Josh on 12, Dave on 12. But he did not. He blew it. So now I'm on 14, Curtis is on 14, Josh is on 10, and Dave is on 12. Now, I don't know if I'm 100% correct there, but I might be correct. I'd probably need to go back through, but I think that's right for the amount of matches. Check out WeWork Stiff, and they'll update you on the Stiff one. But yeah, fun little night of action. The two matches that I was so terrified of, I tried to convince Curtis to swap blocks with me because I'm doing A and he's doing B. They weren't even that bad. They weren't. At least Evil and Sonata did anything, which is great. And as much as like I'm not really buying Jake Lee, at least him and Naito were working. Like, it was fine. So, good night all in all. Next night, Curtis is gonna be back with you himself. He will have the following lineup for you. He is gonna have Hirooki Goto versus Oleg Bolton. That's a me versus Curtis scenario, so whoever wins that will take the lead in the tipping for a moment. Then Jeff Cobb versus Ren Narita. That's also me and Curtis. Oh, fucking hell, we're going each other next week. Then ELP versus Yota Tsuji. That is going to be Josh versus Dave. Hanare versus David Finlay. That is going to be Josh versus Dave. And then Yuya versus Takeshita. That's an own goal for Josh, no matter the way it works. So, yeah, there's going to be some movement next week, and it's going to stay pretty close, I think, depending on how that all plays out. So, thanks for tuning in. Check us out online at Ichiban Suite for all your info there. Check out the Throw and Dice podcast, which is Curtis's sideshow, where he talks about everything in and around the world of hobby games and tabletop gaming. Check out my podcast at Faces Fieldcast, at Faces Fieldcast, where I interview independent wrestlers from around the world. Check out the WeWork Stiff Boys over at WeWork Stiff. You can tune into their episodes to be all up on the Stiff One, hashtag ST1FF, and find out who is going to win, and hopefully it is me. And then check out the Countout Network, at Countout Network, where you can sign up to the Patreon, support the Countout Network, check out our sideshow, the Sweet Spot, where Curtis and I just talk about our lives and things like that. And that'll be everything. Rate and subscribe, listen or die, Spirit of Fight, Style of Strong, Sweet Cast, Ichiban. Take us down.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Count Out Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.